Hi guys, welcome to another episode of IPL Unpod. In fact, the final episode of this season. I am your host Ujwal. With me are Shantanu and Anish. कुछ दिन पहले इन वन ऑफ आवर एपिसोड्स मैंने गलती से कह दिया था कि मुंबई इंडियंस आर फाइव टाइम आईपीएल चैंपियंस. सो मुंबई ने दिखा दिया ट्यूसडे को दिल्ली कैपिटल्स के अगेंस्ट में कि फाइव क्या वो सिक्स और सेवन भी जल्दी हो सकते हैं. आई मीन व्हाट अ सीजन फॉर द टीम. आई मीन फिफ्थ टाइटल एंड दे वर द टेबल टॉपर्स एज वेल, डिफीटेड ऑल द टीम्स. दे आर लाइक द ऑस्ट्रेलिया ऑफ द मिड 2000s एंड a title for them in an even year. So I'm happy that thankfully that odd and even nonsense would also be over, that is behind us. But this is where I would bring in my friends and my colleagues. So Shantanu, I would start with you before I get into talking about how great Mumbai are and their convincing win in the final and everything. Just let's talk a little bit. Let's warm up with Delhi Capitals. Obviously, Delhi Capitals a great season, obviously, for them reaching final for the first time. When you look at the final, it was a pretty lopsided final. So what do you think DC could have done? I mean, what different could they have done to make it a little more competitive or probably, let's say, to win the title?
Quite a few things. See, if to win the title, of course, they would have or they should have tried to stem the rot fairly early after the first half of the season went their way. They barely won anything in the latter half of the IPL and they beat SRH and the all-important eliminator and qualified. But honestly enough, all of us knew who were the favorites going into the final. I think it was winning the toss and batting first in the final was a very good decision by Shreyas Iyer. It's another matter that it didn't quite materialize. What different could they have done? Perhaps they could have seen through Trent Bolt, as you know, because you know, before this match, I think he had taken 7 wickets in the first over of this IPL. So, which in itself explains how lethal he is starting on. He gets all the swing that is available. But to be fair to Delhi, the delivery that got Stoinis didn't really swing. It was back of length, just caught him by surprise, rose at him from an awkward height. And he was in a bad position to play, the bat coming down at an angle and all that. So perhaps they could have given Stoinis a go at the top order in some of the previous matches. But you know, in hindsight, you can say that it really won't have mattered. They would have either finished first or second in any case, which they finished eventually. So particularly in this match, when you lose 3 wickets in the power play and you know, it was in many ways an action replay of the first qualifier when they were 0-3. Luckily for them, it was not that bad this time round. But yes, the initial momentum was all sucked up, sucked away. And even Mumbai were 0-1 in the first qualifier when Ashwin got Rohit early. I'm not sure if they were 0-1 because, no, they were not, because Quinton de Kock took the first ball in the first qualifier. But yeah, they lost Rohit early in the first qualifier. But the difference was that they had batsmen coming in and going after the ball straight away. Yeah. They didn't take any time to settle. And that's the luxury only perhaps Mumbai have in this IPL. For Delhi, once they lost 2 or 3 early wickets, perhaps all those ghosts of the first qualifier would have come storming back. And there was that moment when camera panned on Shreyas Iyer after the first wicket went down. And he was worried. He looked worried. And if I may use the term scared also, it was to an extent. So, yeah, you could see, you know, all those ghosts, all those bad memories coming back. And when a side is coming from such a losing streak, I mean, they barely won anything except for that Hyderabad game coming into this all-important final. So you could very well read what their confidence, how low their confidence was. And all credit to Trent Bolt, Bumrah, and we must not forget the off-spin of Jayant Yadav. So all of that combined to just suck all the momentum they could have, they could have tried to get. I'm sure Shreyas Iyer and Rishabh Pant, to his credit, finally found some form. But it was never going to be enough. It was, I mean, even if they had posted around 175, 180, against this Mumbai lineup, you can never say what total is good enough. Well, all of us talk about the pressure of an IPL final and runs on the board and stuff. But this Mumbai side is something else, man. They are a machine and they are purpose-built to dominate T20 cricket. So to answer a question, honestly, I don't know what Delhi could have done differently. Perhaps not lost the wicket on the first ball, perhaps made 20 more runs and given their bowlers a bit more chance, a bit more hope. But even a total of 180, I don't think would have been safe against this Mumbai lineup. Just a sheer gap in quality, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to add, it was Rohit Sharma whom Ashwin got early on in the qualifier one. And today Rohit took good revenge for that. If I can just add my opinion over, what transpired in the final. I mean, Delhi, we had discussed this thing in the previous episode that Delhi needs to win the toss. I mean, they did this against SRH also. They won the toss, they batted, they put up a strong total and then progressed to the final. And that was probably the best bet. Thankfully, they won the toss, fortunately. But obviously things didn't go in their favor from there on. Most importantly, they needed runs on the board. So here is where I should bring in, as you mentioned, Shantanu, Jayant Yadav's selection. Rahul Chahar was made to sit out for Jayant Yadav, the off spinner. And that selection paid off immediately. He got out. Got Dhawan out. The left-hander. He was brought in to attack the left-handers, and he got him out. Dhawan scored over 600 runs for DC this season. So Anish, the tone was set from the very beginning, isn't it? Mumbai Indians are not only like a very strong side of Karan Pollard, a side which has Quinton de Kock, Rohit Sharma, Karan Pollard, Hardik Pandya, but they are also a team which has a very good think tank. They look at the matchups. Their planning is also very strong. And the tone was set with Dhawan and getting out to Jayant Yadav and Bolt taking a wicket that early. That made it almost impossible for DC to come back from there, isn't it? Even despite the great fight that Iyer and Pant showed.
Yes, we have discussed this in our in one of our previous episodes about Rohit Sharma's captaincy and how he keeps things simple. Yet he brings up those little tactical changes to his team, which adds a lot of value. Today they got. They of course included Jayant Yadav to counter those left-handers in Delhi Capitals. And you were asking about what Delhi could have done different. I think that wicket of Jayant Yadav, he dismissed Shikhar Dhawan with a slight turn, and that's what resulted in Dhawan's fault. I think that's where when Dhawan started great, and Delhi always had a strong position to win the match. We've seen this in the previous game as well. So he, I think Dhawan made a mistake of going against that going against Jayant Yadav so early. I think it was his first over, and he should have probably waited for one more over, because they had already lost Stoinis in the very first over. So I think that's where Dhawan is an experienced player. He's an experienced international player, and he's played so many IPLs seasons. And I think that's where, somewhere I think they missed the trick. Dhawan should have, played out Jayant Yadav, at least in that over. But yeah, credit goes to Mumbai. Like Shantanu said, I don't know what Delhi could have done different. When you have Rohit Sharma and Quinton de Kock coming at your, fast bowlers like that, Ashwin, and they targeted Ashwin, Andrik Nokia and Kagiso Rabada. That's very demoralizing. I know de Kock hit what, 20 or something, but by the end of the power play, the chase was more or less done. It's tremendous. Mumbai Indians as a team is one thing, but Mumbai Indians also bring that kind of aura, right? Once they go against these bowlers, the likes of Pollard and Quinton de Kock and Hardik Pandya, Rohit Sharma, scoring runs is one thing. They demoralize the bowlers. So they don't know what else to do. I think it's one of those days. And unfortunately, this was a final and Delhi bowlers had to face that onslaught very early on.
Yes. I mean, before we go on to discuss about Mumbai Indians and the legacy that they have built, Shantanu, I want to talk about a few more points, where DC probably could have done much better. In the sense, talking about Shreyas Iyer, he scored 65 off 50, played the captain's knock, Delhi Capitals, made them to recover from where they were. I mean, they lost early wickets inside the power play. There is a phase, especially when he was reaching from 42-50, and especially after Pant got out, even though the bowlers were, let's say, Nathan Coulter-Nile or Jayant Yadav bowling to him, there was a phase he slowed down a little, and from there, maybe he didn't pick up or up the ante as probably Delhi would have wanted him to do. Do you think that was, an area where they erred, or Shreyas Iyer erred, or do you think he was just forced to do that? I mean, he didn't really have it was more important for him to see off those 20 overs instead of trying to be like ultra aggressive.
I certainly think he could have been more aggressive because Rishabh Pant got out at the end of 15th over and they still had 5 overs. Like you said, you know, Shreyas couldn't get going, and that has been his problem this season. If you have noticed, he scored at a strike rate of around 130, 127, 130, and which is pretty much at par with at the rate at which he has gone, at which he went today. You know, a strike rate of 130, 50 balls faced, 65 runs scored. So, yes, this is an area where, as a batsman, perhaps Riya Ponting will speak to him, and Iyer himself would, as a captain, would take the ownership and start working on that aspect of his game. That is there. And then Hetmyer getting out early, Akshar Patel, all these, we know Akshar Patel won them a game against, I think that was Chennai, when he hit 3 sixes in one over. So we know these guys can hit, and Hetmyer had recently played a cameo. But credit to Mumbai bowlers, they had their bowling plans in place and they never allowed them any leeway. Once Rishabh was gone and he scored at a fair clip. I'm just looking at the scorecard. He scored at 147 strike rate, whereas his career strike rate is around 152, 153. So that's okay. Can't find much fault with Rishabh's effort today. In fact, we must praise him. But with Iyer, of course, he could have looked to dominate the bowling for the rest of the 5 overs. But like I feel, you know, hindsight is always a 20-20 vision. He would have seen Hetmyer leaving, then Akshar Patel leaving. And it's very difficult for him to then, you know, go for his shots. But, you know, to stay not out, and, you know, he walked in very early. I think within the power play, he came to bat, and then he was not out till the end of the innings. So you expect him to get more than 65 runs or score at a rate faster than 130 runs per ball. So yes, that is an area, and this is precisely where Mumbai Indians score. No, in middle overs and middle order batsmen, there is no respite. Even when you somehow get the better of Quinton de Kock or Rohit Sharma early, there is Ishan Kishan, there is Hardik Pandya, there are others to follow, there is Suri Kumar. So I'm sure we'll come to Mumbai very soon, but yeah. Iyer could have done perhaps this thing differently.
Yeah, Anish, because you were live logging the game, you probably would have a different perspective, or maybe not have. Do you think he anchored the inning excellently and probably to the best that he can, or do you think he probably could have accelerated a little more and maybe would have put up a little more on the board also?
Well, I think he was, when he and Rishabh Pant were at the crease today, I think Rishabh Pant was the aggressor. So probably, Iyer, he's not a natural aggressor per se. I mean, not definitely not like Rishabh Pant. So maybe he thought that, Rishabh has hit the form at the right point, and maybe I should take a back seat and let him do the stuff. But yeah, I mean, like Shantanu said, in the hindsight, so many things could have happened wrong. Interestingly, I think, just staying away from Shreyas, I think Pant, of course, you know, he had a terrible tournament, and then today he you know, when it was needed, he played a very good knock. But again, it was the wrong time to lose a wicket, and especially the way he got out. You know, just before that dismissal, he hit the ball at the same area, you know, the fine leg and, you know, deep square leg. And at that time, the fine leg was up. And, you know, again, Kutanal bowled a similar delivery. This time, Pant tried to hit the ball in the similar area and the fielder was behind. He could have seen it, or he would have, you know, missed it. But I think Pant lost his wicket at a very wrong time. I mean, if you ask me, I did not expect much from Shreyas Iyer, because I've seen how he plays, and you know. But when Pant hit the form today, I thought that this was the right time. And you know, if he could have stayed till the end, till the 20th over, you know, hit those 80, 90 runs, you know, in just 50 odd balls, then that would have made a huge difference. And I mean, very, very unfortunate that he got dismissed at a very wrong time, despite, you know, getting the start and, you know, scoring those 50 runs.
Yeah, I mean, Pant getting, let's say, a 75-80 would have probably changed the game a lot more. I mean, the complexion of the game a lot more for Delhi Capitals. Maybe things would have worked in their favor. Probably they would have had those extra runs on the board to defend and make a game of it. But sticking with you, Anish, I mean, talking about the DC's bowling, I mean, they are into the final largely because of the great bowling side that they have been. But today, I mean, Ashwin, when Jayant Yadav was bowling, it seemed like it was gripping a little. But Ashwin obviously didn't get any wicket. He bowled okay, but didn't get a wicket. And then again, you had the pacers not having, let's say, the greatest of the day. Or the bowling unit altogether not probably clicking as they have been in most of the matches. So it's just one of those days where you don't click together, or maybe, I mean, that intent wasn't there, or let's say maybe they didn't really have, or they didn't show that confidence, considering that they didn't have that many runs on the board. How do you see?
Well, I think that today, I mean, on the final, it was just Mumbai Indians batting, which proved to be the biggest difference. I don't know what Ashwin or Rabada or Nokia could have done more. But I remember the very first over, Rohit Sharma came down the track and smashed Ashwin for a six. I think that intent from is what set the tone for Mumbai Indians. And you know what, if, I mean, we know Rohit Sharma, his record as an opener, and there was this Quinton de Kock, and you know, he was in phenomenal form for Mumbai Indians this season. He's also an experienced international player. And when these two batsmen, you know, when they go against these bowlers, I don't think they could have done much more. I mean, Ashwin did try his best, but you know, today was just not the day. And I think this tells a lot about Mumbai's batting rather than Delhi's bowling. Of course, Delhi's bowlers have been really, really, you know, they performed really well throughout the tournament. They got them the wicket. You know, Rabada is the Purple Cap winner this season, 30 wickets. But you know, and last game also, he took 3 wickets in that penultimate over, which changed the game for them, and SRH ended up being on the losing side. But today the bowlers couldn't have done much against this batting attack.
Yeah, Shantanu, I mean, talking about Rohit Sharma, he made a quick fire 68 of 51. And I mean, showed how big a player he is, especially, I mean, especially in IPL. I mean, the value that he brings to Mumbai Indians, I mean, and the intent that he showed from the beginning as he came out to bat. I mean, they wanted to complete this target as soon as possible. They didn't really want to make a mess of this chase, and they didn't want to wait till the middle overs where maybe probably the ball might grip and get into any sort of trouble. He wanted to finish it as soon as possible and go back and enjoy.
Yeah, and you know, this is the brand of cricket they play, and this is what makes them champions. So there is one other team in the IPL who has been which has been very dominant, and from a very different intent and from a very different perspective when it comes to chasing, and that is CSK. They like to take the game deep, and they like to win off the last balls. They like to win, take it to the last overs, and eventually win is all that counts. And it, and look at Mumbai Indians, a completely different approach, a completely different captain. He's imposing his will, and he's imposing his intent on the team. And everybody seems to be in agreement with what Rohit and the team management has agreed upon. So, and talking about Rohit Sharma, well, we know how good a batsman he is, and he has been slightly out of form, especially after coming from his injury. But the hallmark of a great player is to rise when the occasion demands, and he has shown it on multiple occasions. We have seen what he has done in the World Cup in 2019, and we saw it today in the IPL final, and there is frankly no comparison between a World Cup and an IPL. But just to give our listeners a sense of the occasion that Rohit Sharma inevitably realizes, and I'm slightly digressing here. If you look at India's skipper, RCB's skipper Virat Kohli, and if you will look at the stats carefully, you know, the number of runs he scores or the number of match-winning innings he has played in finals and semi-finals of multinational events, there is a stark difference. And he really doesn't fire when the big moment arrives. So, whereas if you look at guys like Rohit, guys like Shikhar particularly, these players have that habit of you know, of striking gold when it really matters. So, and one thing that they did really well this time around, Mumbai Indians, is they gave Rohit a free run at the top of the order. Because over the past couple of seasons, we have seen that his batting order has been tampered with. And it's always a point of discussion at the start of an IPL season, where will Rohit bat, who will open with Quinton de Kock. This time around, I was very happy to see in all the matches that Rohit played, he batted at top of the order. He opened the innings, and such a pure joy to watch him in flow. And Anish spoke about that over where he smashed Ashwin for a six. And there's really a few better sides than Rohit Sharma in full flow. That bat swing, and you know, the timing that he generates, the power that he generates, the six of Nokia, that pull shot. I mean, just too good a batsman to watch. Pure masterclass, captain's innings, but I'm glad that they gave man of the match award to a bowler.
Yes, definitely. I mean, Trent Boult deserved it for setting it up for the Mumbai Indians. But talking about Mumbai Indians in general, I mean, the franchise, we have already discussed about how rich a legacy they have and the dynasty that they are building. But Anish, I mean, I mean, five titles, but they look like a side which is ready to go on to win, let's say, sixth and seventh in a very near future. I mean, they have that kind of setup there, isn't it? It's almost, I mean, like, as I said, the Australia of the mid-2000s, where they never used to lose. I mean, they didn't have any chink in the armor, and Mumbai Indians are probably like that only.
Yes, I mean, strange, isn't it? This is 2020, and you know, this was not a very comfortable tournament for any team. I mean, coming back, coming to a different country, adjusting to all this, you know, COVID testing and quarantining and everything. So, you know, pre-season, I thought, you know, the this could be, you know, this season could have been anybody's. And as the season progressed, there was not a big difference among teams, apart from, let's say, Mumbai Indians and CSK. CSK, of course, didn't start good. And then Mumbai Indians, you know, were dominant right from the first season. But apart from these two, there was not a lot of big difference. So, you know, you could have expected, you know, other teams, you know, maybe if we can reach the qualifiers and the final, maybe one of those days where we can beat the top side. But you know, Mumbai Indians, pandemic or not, odd, even or whatever it is, they find a way to actually win it. Interestingly, you put it like the mid-2000 Australian side. Yeah, and very much. And I'm sure Ricky Ponting.
How happy are you that this odd even is over?
I thought it's kind of nonsense, but I think to listen to players today, Jasprit Bumrah and Surya Kumar Yadav also, they spoke in the post-match presentation that, you know, we wanted to break that jinx of odd years and, you know, even years. I mean, yeah, they are like, why are they talking about it? I didn't understand the point of breaking the jinx and all the stuff. You know, you are the best side of the tournament. You deserve to win the trophy. But that's I mean, Mumbai Indians. Of course, when the league started, they were among the favorites, like CSK, because, you know, both teams have been really consistent throughout this last 13 years. But you know, with everything happening all around the world, and you know, the conditions were somewhat, you know, equal for everybody. And stuff like that, you know, maybe other teams would have thought that, yeah, maybe this is our season. But, you know, so not a big difference between the number 2 to number 8. But Mumbai Indians were well and above everybody. I mean, probably the best T20 sides, even if you count international teams. I don't think they'll be anywhere close to Mumbai Indians.
Yeah, Shantanu, players talking about breaking that jinx only shows that Mumbai Indians don't only want to win title, but they want to defend titles also. I mean, that's a hallmark of a champion team, isn't it? I mean, we can see that in their game, in the consistency. Best team, maybe. I mean, if they can compete in international tournaments, as Michael Vaughan tweeted, I think today, they would probably win the World T20 also.
Yeah, most certainly. And they have match winners right from number 1 to number 11 and perhaps to number 15 when their bench strength is as good as you know, some of the lesser fancy teams of the other T20 leagues around the world. So a very, very good team, a very well balanced side. And for our listeners, I think there is a piece that First Post carried today. It carried quotes from former India batting coach Sanjay Bangar, where he spoke about the culture and the template that Mumbai Indians have set, and some very valid points there. And one of which was, even in off season, Mumbai Indians they host camps in Navi Mumbai and DY Patel Stadium to test their bench strength. This talent scouting is spot on. It's an urban legend now how John Wright spotted Jasprit Bumrah. You know, these Pandya brothers were not really household names when they came into Mumbai Indians. Quinton de Kock was wasted at Royal Challengers Bangalore, and he's virtually turned the season around for Mumbai Indians. So there is something about the team culture, something about the leadership, perhaps. Where they create finished products out of good players, and it is one thing to have talent, and it is something else to have somebody to spot that talent and make the most of it. That is where I think Mumbai Indians score head and shoulders above everybody else. And I think in one of our episodes we compared them to some of the great teams who have played sport, you know, across the sporting spectrum. You spoke about Australia's winning team of the 2000s. I think we spoke about some of the NBA giants, spoke about Galacticos, we spoke about All Blacks. And, you know, though the sporting legacy of IPL is still 13-year-old, but on current form, and if the culture that they have, if they're able to sustain that, I'm sure, I mean, in 10 years down the line, we'll take their name in pretty much the same breath. So, yeah, a very well-balanced team, a very good side, and they have the means and the resources to invest. They can afford big players. They can afford good mentors, good analytical staff and all that. But like teams in IPL have shown, you can fill your, back room with a number of talented guys, with a number of laptop-wielding wizkids. But when it really comes to cricket, it's the sporting acumen, it's the understanding of the game that really matters. And that is where I think the men who actually play the game have to be bloody good at it, and which is what Mumbai Indians have shown over the years. And in our past episodes, I think I've made it a point on multiple occasions, the consistency of their team selection, the core that they have, just 13 or 14 players playing through the season. I mean, they played 16 matches throughout the season and tried only 13 players out of a squad of around 25. So that speaks volumes about Rohit, the captain, about the leadership. Once you identify your best 11, you stick by it. I mean, there have been teams who have just completely changed their batting order, completely changed their playing 11. So to say, just getting rattled by a couple of losses, but not Mumbai Indians. And this is a trait that we have seen in CSK also. Though the two teams play with completely different approaches, if you look at CSK's team sheets, it's very rare that Dhoni opts for wholesale changes. Though at international level, we have seen him go with horses for courses approach. But when it comes to franchise cricket, he knows he has to play 7 games at Chepauk. So he identifies his men and he sticks by them. It turned out completely different from them in the UAE. That is a separate matter. But yes, for Mumbai, all the hard work that they have put, I think today the players spoke about the fact that they had the training camp a month or a couple of months before other teams started preparing. So all these things really help. And as the season progressed, we knew that the cream was well and truly at the top and it just stayed there.
Yeah, before we move on to the other section of our discussion tonight, Chandra, I'm going to come back to you because you are a half Delhiite. So just one last thing on DC. I mean, they were struggling towards the end of the league phase, managed to beat RCB to qualify for the playoffs, then lost in the qualifier one, then again defeated SRH to reach in the final. Failed in the final, but yeah, still... This has been a historic IPL for them, so to say, because this is the first time that they have reached the summit clash. Things did look a little gloomy for them, towards the end of the league phase and towards the beginning of the playoffs. But today, the recovery that Rishabh Pant and Shreyas Iyer did after they lost 3 wickets in the playoffs probably showed that the mainstays, I mean, the core that Ricky Ponting is trying to build, those guys have the potential, click in the pressure situation. And probably it's an investment that he needs to continue, and this core would give them better results. I mean, they may be able to take the trophy probably next season or maybe next to next season. What they need to do is that they don't need to go back to what DC or Delhi Daredevils used to do earlier and make those wholesale changes. Instead of that, they need to stick with this core and probably they can reap more benefits in future.
Yeah, most certainly. If a team is good enough to reach an IPL final, 2 consecutive playoffs, something that has not been done in years, I'm sure they're good enough to win the title also at some stage. And I think it's the inexperience of the squad that also played its part. They're perhaps the youngest average age in the entire IPL. The first time they were playing the finals. So all that pressure, Shreyas Iyer being a young captain, I think overall, if you look at the makeup of the squad, it's pretty balanced. And, there are quite a few ifs and buts there. But if Prithvi Shaw had not had a woeful run of form, an extended woeful run of form, I must say. Perhaps things could have turned out differently. I don't know if they expected Ajinkya Rahane to bat at all in this season, because we know Shaw and Dhawan, in the initial matches at least, in the first 7 or 8 matches, they made the opening slot their own. So, yes, there's quality there, and down the order, also the guys like Iyer, Akshar Patel, again, a very very underrated cricketer, or if not underrated, under-discussed cricketer, especially at the T20 level. I think, you know, we must not also forget that they endured a couple of injuries. Amit Mishra and Ishan Sharma had to leave the squad. And Amit Mishra is a wily T20 bowler. He would have made a lot of difference to their bowling attack, which anyway was quite good. Now, they had Ashwin, they had Nokia, and they had Rabada. I think what really happened was a few players, 3 or 4 players losing form at the same time, both the batsmen and the bowlers. So Prithvi Shaw strung together single-digit scores, and around the same time, Rabada was being taken for runs, Nokia stopped taking wickets. So these things happened. I think perhaps they could have given Kimo Paul a few matches. So in CPL, he's a very highly rated cricketer. Again, all-rounder and an excellent fielder. Perhaps he could have got a game somewhere. But having said that, I mean, all said and done, this is still a very young team and has shown enough promise to keep us excited. And and the good thing is they are showing gradual progression. Last season, then they entered playoffs. This season, made it to the finals. And who knows? I mean, and even today, had they got a better start, and who knows what would have happened? Enough quality in the side to keep us all hooked. And perhaps from a couple of years now, they would not be treated as the underdogs. No?
All right, time to talk about the player awards that were handed out after the IPL final. First, we will start with MVP, Most Valuable Player. Jofra Archer from Rajasthan Royals, he took 20 wickets in the season at an economy rate of just 6.55, and also scored 113 runs, I think, with a very healthy strike rate of 179. Bowled 175 dot balls, so he was a sensational bowler, definitely, for Rajasthan Royals. I think he also took a lot of wickets out of those 20. A lot of them came in the power play. So I think I don't know whether you guys agree with the choice and what do you think. Anish, I will start with you. Jofra Archer, for you also the MVP?
Yeah, I mean, looking at his numbers and, the wickets, of course, Rajasthan Royals didn't have the best of the seasons, but still, it was Jofra Archer's performance and his fiery spells which gave them maybe a chance. Like you said, he picked up wickets in the power play, and whenever I think the wicket was needed, the captain always turned to Jofra, and I think just like Bumrah, I think he delivered most of the time. But I mean, I agree. I mean, it's fine. It's completely a good choice taking Jofra as a MVP. But I don't know. My mind is always stuck on Bumrah. I mean, how many times he has done it? This season we have seen it. He bowled in two super overs. Of course, Mumbai didn't end up on the winning side of the things. But again, whenever his captain needed him, he came and he got them those crucial breakthroughs in those, how many, 16 matches I think Mumbai played. There were so many instances where Bumrah came and delivered under pressure, and I think Jofra is a good choice. Bumrah also would have been a great choice for me.
Yeah, IPL has purple cap. We have a separate category called best bowler. So maybe you can give that best bowler award to Jasprit Bumrah. But Shantanu, I mean, if not Jofra Archer, I mean, there's a good chance you may also agree with the choice from IPL. But if not Jofra Archer, who probably you think could have been MVP? I mean, is there anyone who have impressed you with his all-round abilities?
A couple of players actually, and both coming from the same team. They're from Delhi Daredevils, Marcus Stoinis and Akshar Patel. And if you look at Stoinis's progression this season, it has been a remarkable improvement. I think this was his sixth or seventh IPL season, and perhaps the first time that we are really hearing or writing about him. And I remember when he was in RCB, we used to get one or two odd games here and there, and he never used to perform. And we used to think, what the hell is he doing there in the squad in the first place? Because can neither ball, can't bat. But, you know, under Shreyas Iyer and under Ponting, I'm assuming Ponting would have seen quite a bit of him in Australia. So 17 matches, so 352 runs, 13 wickets is a very good return. And doesn't matter if he got out on the first ball in the final, but he is the reason they were playing this final in the first place. So that, and Akshar Patel, again, like I said, a very understated cricketer. And if I'm not mistaken, in one of these earlier IPL seasons, he was the emerging player. He won the emerging player of the tournament award also. I think it was in 2009 or 2010, one of those seasons. He's a cricketer who will give you four tight overs. And even today, when everybody went for runs, he conceded just 16 runs of his four overs. And on his day, he can hit the long ball also. One of these two. And if I were to choose, I would have perhaps gone with Stoinis. Nothing against Jofra, but I think Stoinis brings more all-round value to the table.
Yeah, I mean, for our listeners, I would like to add that Marcus Stoinis scored 352 runs this season and took 13 wickets. And probably if we jog through our memory, the first match that DC won against KXIP, or they lost against KXIP. Oh, they won against KXIP. It was Marcus Stoinis' half century that took the game into the super over. And then again, we all know how he opened and showed that intent and changed the game. I mean, helped DC score 189 in the qualifier too, which eventually helped them to advance to the final. So I also probably agree with you, Shantanu, there. Marcus Stoinis for me may be a better choice. Jofra Archer, no doubt, also a great choice. Jofra Archer showed us that what value he brings as a T20 player, probably one of the best T20 players going around. But Marcus Stoinis, yeah, probably for me also. We will now go on to discuss the best batsmen. So obviously, the orange cap has gone to KL Rahul with 670 runs for KXIP. KXIP didn't make it to the playoffs. But Anish, he may have the most runs, but for you, has he been the best batsman from this edition, or would you have another pick?
I mean, if a batsman scores around 670 runs and an orange cap winner, so I think the numbers says it. I mean I don't know if I would call him my best batsman of the tournament. There has been instances where we were asking questions why KL Rahul is hanging back and why is he not playing the free flow cricket which I think in the first match or the second match which he showed. He can do it. And then as the tournament progressed, of course, he scored heaps of runs. But, there was not that free-flowing ability, this free-flowing game to his batting. Of course, that doesn't take the fact that he was very consistent. He led by example. And, he was a very, very good captain. And, of course, they lost few close matches or else they would have sneaked through the playoffs. So I think, I mean, batting wise, I would have, my choice is the best batsman. I think it would have been Quinton de Kock. Exactly the reasons why I mentioned about Rahul, when he takes on the bowlers, he just demoralizes them. And it's one of those, he's like those Adam Gilchrist, you know, during those, you spoke about mid-2000 Australian side, you know, and Gilchrist used to go berserk against these bowlers, and you know, they used to get demoralized. I think Quinton de Kock, for me, I think was really, really good throughout this IPL season. Today also in the final, he showed, you know, the 20 odd runs which he hit was good enough for Mumbai to chase down, I think, what, 157. Of course, you know, that kind of, you don't make that connection that, you know, 20 odd runs really helped them in chasing down. But, you know, that start proved to be the crucial. I think Quinton de Kock for me stood out.
Yeah, Shantanu, who's your star batsman?
Well, by numbers, of course, there's no denying the fact that KL Rahul owned this IPL. And when in flow, again, is a very beautiful batsman to watch. And but like Anish said, there are aspects of his batting that, I mean, I'm no batting expert, I'm no cricketer, but perhaps I can tell from a very neutral standpoint that, you know, he could have looked to attack a bit more. Strike rate of 129.34 for 670 runs. Can get you on top of the batting charts, but can't really win you an IPL. And perhaps that is the reason they couldn't make the cut for the playoffs. But that doesn't take anything away from what he did in this IPL. Some of his innings were truly world class, and you know, against world class bowlers. It's not that he was targeting a few inexperienced Indian bowlers or things like that. But when you open the innings, you get most number of balls to play, but then you also face the best bowlers first up. And I don't remember him getting a duck or too many single digit scores this IPL. So very consistent, and it's very good news for India that that he is in such good form and is going to Australia. A bit more free flow, but I think that we can put it down to his captaincy responsibility. That is an entirely new discussion, and I think we have spent considerable time discussing Kings XI's season. But who knows, if he was not leading the side, perhaps he could have scored more freely. Or on the contrary, you can say that the added responsibility made him the batsman he became in this IPL. But if you ask me, impact-wise, my batsman, I think it would be a toss-up between David Warner and Ishan Kishan. So, like Anish said, you want a free-flowing batsman at the top of the order. And David Warner, for me, most of us are biased towards left-handers with all that grace and all. But Warner has a very all-round game, and when a batsman succeeds at the international level for that long, we know he has quality. But with Warner, once we saw it, when he freed himself, when he freed his mind of all those burden and responsibilities that captaincy brings along, once he started including Kane Williamson in the squad, perhaps that gave him the fresh lease of life that he needed. And we started seeing Warner that we know. So, and quite impactful innings, quite a few impactful innings, and a fair clip also. So, yeah, I would say that I would not disagree with what the experts have chosen, because numbers clearly back it. But on impact, I would have gone with David Warner or Ishan Kishan.
Yeah, I mean, KL Rahul has won the orange cap on the basis that he has scored the most number of runs. But if I have to give my choice, I would probably go with Ishan Kishan or Shikhar Dhawan. And Shikhar Dhawan, especially for the reason that, he's also scored 618 runs. He's only short of by, 52 runs, maybe. Of what, 52, yeah. Shikhar Dhawan, because I think batting was Delhi Capitals' biggest worry. And Shikhar Dhawan, being the senior guy there, showed them the way, took the leadership role, scored impactful runs. When they qualified for the final, in that qualifier too, he scored 78 runs. And I think he also scored a half century in the game against RCB, the last league game for DC, through which, through that victory, they progressed to the playoffs. And then again, obviously, two centuries. I mean, there have been few dropped catches in those centuries. And he has also got out on duck in two matches consecutively. But still, I think his runs made a lot of difference to DC's campaign. Main reason behind them being in the final. And obviously, Ishan Kishan, uncapped player, over 500 runs, 36s. I think he leads the sixes chart for this season. And that's quite a transformation for a player who doesn't look like one who would clear the fences at will. So, yeah, I mean, Ishan Kishan, obviously, a great improvement and a great season for him. So that is there. And Orange Cap, obviously, Kagiso Rabada won the Orange Cap because he ended up with 30 wickets. Jasprit Bumrah ended up on the second in the list with 27 wickets. Anish, your favorite bowler, Kagiso Rabada for this season? I think you have already answered Jasprit Bumrah. So I'm going to take it as Jasprit Bumrah. Or do you have any other choice?
No, I mean, it was great to see Rabada, the likes of Nokia, Trent Bolt, and of course Bumrah. And then, I don't know, Shami also, if you know, in the earlier stages, and he bowled that super over. It was great to see all these fast bowlers performing and, you know, being on top of the list. But yeah, I mean, Rabada, we know that he took a lot of wickets, 30 wickets this season. But impact-wise, there's only one Bumrah. So yeah, any day Bumrah.
Shantanu, Bumrah also for you, or do you have any other choice?
I'll go with Bumrah. I know he has taken three wickets less than the guy who has won the purple cap, that is Kagiso Rabada. And I'm a big admirer of Rabada's bowling also, especially in Test cricket. But, you know, Bumrah is the man for me. I mean, there is something very attractive about him. Well, you know, thinking fast bowler. Identifies the length early. He knows when to ball which delivery. He has all the variations, but also the cricketing intelligence to implement. Just a very fine bowler. And if you guys remember the first match that Mumbai played against CSK, which was the season opener, he was bowling a lot of back of length balls that Raidu was cutting or pulling, and you know, he was looking very ineffective. But all it took was a couple of matches, and I'm sure he must have practiced hard, his Yorkers. And somewhere in the middle of the season, the Yorkers came back in fashion, and it was Jasprit Bumrah and K. Natarajan from SRH who can be credited with that. And not just Yorkers, he's a very, very, like I said, a bowler with all the variations. He can bowl the bouncer, he can bowl the slower ball, and... And today we saw, you know, his opening spell was spot on, and it reminded us of that over to Shikhar Dhawan that he bowled in the first qualifier, and he almost got him in the same fashion. It was just that the ball was pitched slightly fuller in the first occasion. But you know, keep all the numbers aside, take all the strike rates out of the equation. Just the sheer joy of watching Bumrah run in and ball at 145 odd. Just the lengths that he hits, just the bounce that he generates, the pace that he gets, and all that from a very wiry frame. And also the fact, of course, that he is an Indian. I must not hide the fact that I am biased because of the fact that Jasprit Bumrah comes from India. And as a cricketing nation, it's very rare that we get a fast bowler. It's once in a generation fast bowler who must be preserved. So my pick is Jasprit Bumrah. What's yours?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it is Yuzvendra Chahal. Actually, there are three spinners, I think, in the top 10 wicket takers list. And Yuzvendra is on fifth. He's the highest among the spinners. And the top four ahead of him are all four pacers. Yuzvendra Chahal for me, because I think it was a tournament where it favored the pacers more. But still, Yuzvendra Chahal with his... guile, with his braveness, continuously tossing up the ball, with his that proper leg spin that he does, and the googly at times. I mean, just a lovely display of spin bowling. And I mean, There's no doubt Rabada was great also, and Bumrah was also great. Trent Bolt was so good in power play. But I enjoyed Chahal more than the Pacers. So, yeah, Chahal for me. And he's also got 21 wickets. So, yeah, was pretty effective for RCB in the tournament as well. And with that, we will now move on to our best moments from the IPL. I mean, this is where it is going to be very tough for any of us to pick. I mean, it was a great IPL. I mean, we have to understand that it was a pandemic. The IPL was almost not going to take place. Then it took place and then it gave us so many great moments. I mean, there are those dual super overs matches. There have been multiple super over matches and some great Yorkers from Bumrah. I mean, Rahul Tevatiya. So I'll start with Shantanu. Shantanu, which for you is the most memorable moment from this edition?
If there was a match between Delhi Capitals and Rajasthan Royals, where Pondrit Nokia, he bowled what is now called the fastest over of the IPL, and my reason to pick it as my best is the most memorable moment or the moment that that will remain in my memory for a long time is simply because of my fascination with fast bowling. I think I made it quite clear in the rant that I did on Bumrah just a while back. So, consistently bowling 155 kilometers an hour, getting rid of Jos Buttler. He was lapped. One of his deliveries bowled at 156 was lapped by Jos Buttler for a boundary. He came back next ball and took the middle stump out. I mean, this is the stuff that you dream of as a kid growing up. You want to bowl fast. And you want to take the middle stump out of the ground. You dream of such stuff. You know, if you are a batsman growing up, you dream of hitting straight sixes. If you want to bowl fast, you want to take the middle stump out. So I mean, that is the moment that will remain etched in my memory for a while. That entire over, actually, the length that he was hitting. I remember the first ball of that over because I was live vlogging that match. First ball was bowled at 148. Next ball 152, next 155, 156. It was a pleasure watching that over and watching it closely. Just looking at the lens he was bowling, he was in the zone. We talk about batsmen being in the zone. This for a change, we saw a bowler in a zone, hitting that pace with effortless ease. So that is one. And if I have a luxury of choosing another, it would be Rahul Tevatiya's that famous innings now where he took apart Shelton Cottrell. So again, more a life lesson than anything else. You can just plod your way through and there will eventually be one opening, one fading light at the end of the tunnel, and that is where you can make the most of it. Tevatiya did on that occasion. It spawned a legend of Tevatiya, and it followed it with Riyan Parag in one of the other matches. I think that was against SRH. But that match against Kings XI Punjab, what an innings from Tevatiya. So these two matches, and I will be pretty excited to know what are yours.
Yeah, before I actually say what the ones that has, etched in my memory, I would probably like to ask Anish. And can I make a guess, Anish? Is it Ben Stokes' innings or which is the most memorable moment for you from this IPL?
Because I was waiting for Ben Stokes to play that kind of knock. I'm a huge fan of Ben Stokes, what he does in Test cricket as well as in other formats as well. So, when you see Ben Stokes at full flow scoring runs all over the stadium. So, yeah, that was a fun moment. But I can't think beyond Tevatiya. Of course, there were small little instances where, the likes of P. Natarajan and Varun Chakravarti, they bowled those crucial overs and, turned the games around for their teams here and there. But yeah, as a standout moment, I had to choose Rahul Tevatiya. Of course, it was very early in the tournament, and the charge up, which was an absolute belter for the batting side, and the dimensions were small, and like Shantanu said, it was more of a life lesson than anything else. But But you know what? That set the tone for the tournament, and you know, since it was early in the season, and we were still grasping about this idea of IPL happening inside a bubble with a pandemic raging on and stuff like that, and you know those little 20 odd minutes which you know made us forget about everything, and the joy of this crazy format, and you know, cricket being a funny sport and stuff like that. Of course, it was very bad bowling from, I remember, Sheldon Cottrell and Kings XI Punjab, which I didn't really like it. But you know, the sheer joy of hitting, sheer joy of seeing all those explosion happening on a cricket field was really, really good moment for me.
Yeah, Rahul Tewati are taking apart KXIP for me also. I mean, it's another example of what IPL has done to uncapped, unknown Indian players. I mean, changing their life completely. I mean, making stars out of, as I said, uncapped, unknown players. Rahul Tewati's life after this IPL would never be the same. So, yes, definitely that moment also. But also, T. Natarajan's Yorker to ABD, that he got him a clean bowled. I mean, the middle stump flying out. I mean, this guy, I mean, unknown again, uncapped, played tennis ball cricket sometime back, and bowling a Yorker to the best T20 batsman, arguably the best T20 batsman, and cleaning him up and bringing back bringing Yorkers back into the fashion. I mean, we have seen it become a rare commodity in the last few years. So, yeah, I mean, one of the most heart-touching moment for me. And
if I can speak here, I think my favorite moment would have been if Ravichandran and Ashwin gone ahead and actually did that run out chance against. It was against Aaron Finch. That would have been a great moment for me, but unfortunately I don't know why Ashwin didn't do that. Maybe the why because of Ricky Ponting, but yeah, I mean, I don't want to use man kidding, but yeah, if that would have happened, then it would have been a great moment.
Yeah, it's a complete different discussion altogether. But you are right. I mean, Ashwin should have gone ahead and done that. Maybe next time we will see Ashwin doing it and not really thinking about other things off the pitch before taking a decision like that. But this was about the moments. We will also talk about the best match from this edition, the one which has thrilled us the most. So Anish, your chance again. Which one is the most memorable contest for you from this edition?
Okay, I haven't thought about it. So let me think about this for a while, and maybe Shantanu go ahead on this.
Instinctive.
Instinctive. Instinctive again, that Rahul Tewati taken. But let me think about this for a while.
Yeah, Shantanu, then. Oh, which
I'll
one?
I'll go with the double super over game. It was between Mumbai and Kings XI, if I'm not mistaken. It's not very rare that you get a super over in a match. And here we were having two super overs. And frankly, the first time in my cricket watching life that I have seen two super overs or heard of two super overs deciding the fate of a match. I think the rules were changed after the 2019 World Cup final. So yeah, this was perhaps the first occasion, if I'm not mistaken, when two super overs were played, and the sheer quality of those super overs. Everybody expects Bumrah to nail his Yorkers, which he did. And Mohammad Shami then responding in kind, defending five runs, Yorkers after Yorkers. Just a pure exhibition of fast bowling. And what also pleased me was the fact that these two bowlers play for India. So here we are. Again, like I said, a country not exactly known for its fast bowling riches. And it shows how far we have come over past decade or so. This is what cricket awareness, this is what fitness, science, sports, nutrition, everything can do to you. And Bumrah and Shami, and together with with guys like Ishant and Umesh, and again a very steady bench strength of fast bowling. They are the future of India in test matches at least. And it was and Shami particularly, not known for his wide ball skills, though he's a mighty fine wide ball bowler, but tends to go for runs at times. But yeah, not really known for his wide ball skills. To watch him, just land those yorkers on demand one after the another. That was the game. And the overall excitement. This is why you watch T20 cricket, isn't it? You want runs to be scored. You want an even contest at the end of the day. This one contest encapsulated the spirit of T20 cricket, I would say. And hence it is my pick. Anish, are you ready?
Very, very. Again, I'm. Is it okay not to have a favorite match from favorite match from this?
Anything that you can think of.
See, I wouldn't. I mean, of course, the match that matches which stood out was the Rahul Tewatia one. I remember there was this match against Sunrisers where Rahul Tewatia took off against Rashid Khan, which was really, really refreshing to see. And Rajasthan ended up winning the match. So there was that one. I remember again bringing in Rashid Khan. You know, there was one match where Kings 11 were cruising and Rashid comes and he picks up crucial wickets of one Nicholas Puran, and that's where the match turns into the Sunrisers Hyderabad's favor. So that was one I remember and then of course the super overs one, the double super overs one, of course stood out for the obvious reason. But yeah, favorite match, I don't know, nothing comes into my mind apart from those one or two, three, or the collection of it. Sorry, Ujjwal.
Yeah, perhaps Liverpool winning Premier League.
Any day. I Liverpool beating those Arsenals and Atlanta are always my favorites.
Yeah, there are some trends also that emerged from this IPL. I mean, one of those trends that we have seen is, 2019 IPL was also pretty closely contested. I think the team that finished last ended up with 10 points. But this season, it became the most, I think, the most closely contested it has ever been. I mean, Rajasthan Royals finished at the bottom with 12 points, and RCB qualified by finishing and fourth with 14 points. So that's how slim the margin was this season. So, Shantanu, you're expecting it to get more competitive next season? I think that is how the IPL has been in the last 2-3 seasons.
Yeah, I guess so. And because players across the board are getting hang of T20 cricket and franchises are getting smarter by the day. And this season, I think a lot was also because of the fact that it was played on only 3 venues. The home advantage was taken away and everybody got pretty much the same playing surfaces. So that could be a factor. And also the fact that teams started pretty much on an even keel. There were barring a few English players, there were no real cricket that was happening. So everybody came in a bit raw, you know, just coming straight from the camps and conditioning, stints straight into the field of play. So that could have played a role. And that is where the match fitness matters and aging teams like CSK started to fall behind pretty early. So these could be factors why this was a very even contest. But you know, if you look at the points table and if you look at the general quality of cricket also on offer, there was just one team that was above everybody and one team that was below par, below expectation from everybody. Worst performing, if I would say, that is CSK. And so the rest of the 6 teams in contention are pretty even, and the mid-table logjam that we see, that's actually a very healthy sign. You know, I know KKR fans would really not agree with me because it's the second time in succession that they have lost out on a playoff berth because of net run rate. But just the fact that these 4 positions are being decided on net run rate shows that games are getting closer, stakes are getting higher, teams are fighting more fiercely, and there's always this ongoing discussion about shorter boundaries, heavier bats. But you know, just to clear the field, you need I think six hitting is a very underrated skill, and it's I would put it at par with good defense. Good attack is as important as a good defense, and a lot of times we know a lot of batsmen say that attack is the best form of defense. So when you see guys like Hardik Pandya, guys like Ishan Kishan, Kiran Pollard, everybody knows, when they can tee off almost at will, almost on cue, it takes a lot of cricketing intelligence also to target the bowler, target the areas, know when to go for your shots, make the bowler bowl in your areas. So yes, I think I can go on and on, but I feel, all these factors combined, and I would not be surprised if the next IPL or the one after that also, we'll have these close finishes and these kind of, teams finishing on almost the same points and then making it on net run rates. I'm really not sure how other leagues around the world are doing at this stage. I mean, PSL, I guess, is starting soon. BBL is coming up. So it will be interesting to see how the franchises there are playing, the players there are performing. But you're right. Over the past few years, we have seen this trend, and I'm pretty certain it will continue.
Yeah, and Anish, I mean, talking about another factor, there's no doubt MI, DC, SRH were probably the best teams from this IPL. And what we can see in all of these three teams is that there is an identifiable core. There's a core that these teams have worked upon. There are a set of players that they have reposed their faith into, and then they get utility players to complete their whole unit, and maybe that has been the reason why they have been one of the consistent teams. DC may not be that consistent over the period of last 4, 5, 6 years, but at least in the last two seasons, they have made it to the playoffs continuously. So that is something. I mean, it is an old secret. I mean, if you have a core and if you continue with them, you are bound to have success at some point of time. So that, you think, is probably, something that every franchise should look to achieve. I mean, the franchises, especially like KKR, KXIP, Rajasthan Royals, let's say, to an extent. I mean, those who really don't know what is their core and what sort of identity they want to build for themselves.
Of course, like you said, champion teams, the most consistent teams are built on the strong core. We've seen that with Mumbai Indians. We've seen that in the past with Chennai Super Kings. I mean, that's where teams like RCB or KKR have always erred and they're faltering. KKR, I think, was a really surprising, where, I'm assuming that, by the number of times Morgan and Karthik mentioned Brendan McCullum as the guy, the person who deciding on the batting department, and so stuff like that, where we have seen time and again, we don't know what is the best position of Morgan, of Karthik, or where was Russell was supposed to come. There were instances where Sunil Narayan opened, didn't struggle, then he came one down, and that sort of confusing never really helped. Of course, they lost the playoff spot on net run rate, but that was a really a problematic part for KKR. Yes, a strong core is what separates consistent sides from the other teams. That actually brings me to a very interesting topic, where what about the team which identifies itself as a strong core, which defines themselves as this we stick behind our players, and we made our names by keeping the same set of players, and all that didn't work out for CSK this season, and Dhoni said that he will continue playing for the next season as well, So that's where I think I would. What about their core? What are they going to? We know that Shane Watson, you know, he has retired from T20 cricket, the only format which he was playing. So where does that bring? Where does that put CSK in the scheme of things for the next season? Dhoni as a finisher, we have seen the signs in the international cricket, but this IPL season was the one which it showed that, you know, Dhoni is not the player which he was in the previous years, and there are now big question marks to his finishing abilities. What happened to him? Some of those captaincy decision also, where he didn't trust his young players to be good enough in the playing 11. What about their core? What will be their next this thing? That'll be an interesting thing which I'll be looking forward to, because the next IPL is, I mean, if everything goes as per plan, maybe May only we'll next year May we'll have another IPL. So yeah, I mean, looking forward to that thing in the future.
Yeah, this is our last episode for this edition of the IPL. So we cannot end our conversation without talking about how successful the tournament has been. I mean, how successfully it was hosted in UAE amid the pandemic, and the significance of it for the world cricket, for the Indian cricket. I mean, Shantanu, right now we don't know what we are going to do from tomorrow evening. I mean, for these last 52, 53 days, we had IPL to tune into, and it is a money spinning tournament for BCCI. But apart from that, this time it is not just about the money. It brought along with itself a lot of things. I mean, hope, distraction amid the pandemic. I mean, and kudos to BCCI for successfully hosting it also.
Yeah, you are right. And I mean, it goes without saying that, you know, cricket is perhaps the de facto religion, the only one of the few things that binds this crazy nation. So, and it was, I'm sure, you know, like a lot of people, I was quite skeptical about the thought of having an IPL in the first place. When we had people struggling for their lives and livelihoods, it really didn't make any sense. And once it started, and once we got hooked onto it, it just became a good escape route, a perfect escape from the daily drudgery of lockdown. And you just go back a couple of months in your minds, and you'll perhaps realize what I'm talking about. We had these instances of farmers and laborers and migrant workers walking back to their homes, walking through the entire length and breadth of this vast nation, and people dying of pandemic, and governments across the board, across all political lines, being as hopeless as ever. And along comes this tournament where which at its core is a money-making exercise, let's admit that. But, you know, just the sheer joy that it manages to bring to people across all age groups, across everyone who follows the sport, just the employment it generates, a lot of freelance writers, a lot of freelance journalists getting to make their ends meet because of a cricketing event. Like you said, from tomorrow evening we'll start getting withdrawal symptoms. What to do now? Your daily fix of cricket is gone. And I mean, yeah, we'll have India's tour of Australia starting very soon. But I know just jo aadat ki baat tum keh rahe the ki wo cheez to ho hi jati hai. I mean, when you are invested in something. So I think this IPL was very different, and it will remain very different. And we should all be thankful to the cricketers for bringing the quality of game that they showcased this time round. There were, I don't remember a single dull match this time. And it shows on the points table, isn't it? You know, all matches having some significance or other. It's not as if they are just playing for the heck of it. The games are, I mean, the standings are decided, and there were hardly any games, if at all any, of academic interest alone. So all that, and you spoke about significance of IPL. I mean, yeah, it goes without saying, right? For Indians, cricket is more than, you know, more than anything else. It's not just your daily dose of entertainment. It's a simplest way to help you escape from your daily travails of life. And I'm glad that IPL managed to do it this time. But in no way I'm trying to say that, you know, it has alleviated all the problems that the country is facing. But in the same breath, I would like to add that, but whatever it managed to do, it takes only an IPL to pull this off. And kudos to BCCI for whatever faults that they have, and there are quite a few. They still managed to put together an event of world-class standards. There were no media traveling, so we don't know what exactly was going on. So, and I am afraid that this trend of franchises becoming the news medium may continue. It might have given a new business model of sorts to franchises, making us journalists all the more irrelevant. So that is a cause of concern. But yeah, if you look at the larger picture, a very well-conducted tournament that came just at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, we are nowhere saying that IPL has come as a solution to all the problems that we are facing amid the pandemic. But there's no doubt it became the window for all of us to distract from everything bad that is happening around us. I mean, a stress reliever. But a couple of more things about tangible benefits of this edition of IPL. I mean, Anish, Saurav Ganguly, the BCCI president, spoke about it a while back, ki domestic cricket hum jaldi start karenge India mein, lekin uske baad unhone uske bare mein koi baat kari nahi. Domestic cricket, I think, December ya January se start hona hai. Unhone shayad aisa kuch timeline diya tha, lekin koi bhi baat uspe ab ho nahi rahi. लेकिन मुझे लगता है क्योंकि अब हम आईपीएल कर चुके हैं सक्सेसफुली इस तरह से बायो बबल क्रिएट करके, तो उसका एक फायदा तो इंडिया को होने वाला है. आई थिंक डोमेस्टिक क्रिकेट जल्दी ही वापस आ जाएगा, और क्योंकि इंटरनेशनल क्रिकेट पहले से ही वापस आ चुका था और इंटरनेशनल क्रिकेट चलता रहेगा, लेकिन इंडियन डोमेस्टिक सेटअप को आई थिंक आईपीएल का एक फायदा मिलने वाला. वो जो टीचिंग है वहां से वो डायरेक्ट इम्प्लीमेंट हो जाएगा इंडिया में.
अगर हो जाएगा तो इट्स इवन बेटर, व्हाई नॉट. But yeah, I mean, it's difficult to see somebody like Surya Kumar Yadav, you know, who had such a brilliant IPL, who's not there in the international setup, who will not travel to Australia. So, uska kya? What will he do next? Uska matlab, what are your chances? So, he'll be back in India and then he'll do his own sort of training, stuff like that. So, that is, you know, okay, BC, because as Shantanu said, IPL is a big money spinning machine, and they were desperate to conduct this tournament. Of course, pandemic and all the stuff happened, and they were looking ways where, how, and you know when we can do this. But of course, IPL, they did a good job in conducting this IPL. Apart from BCCI, of course, the Emirates Cricket Board of UAE also deserves a lot of credit here. But yeah, like you said, I mean, is there any news of BCCI's you know, domestic fixtures? What is happening to them? And of course, also I would like to bring that there was this women's T20 challenge. There were talks about women IPL, but of course, okay, this is a pandemic year. Maybe BCCI has you know, wanted to do a women's IPL, but that didn't materialize this season. But what about the next one? What about the next plan? Is there a real possibility of a women's IPL, not a women's T20 challenge, but a women's IPL? And then, of course, the domestic structure, what happens with them? Yeah, I mean, the sooner we get the news, the better. And of course, it will be clearer for players also who were invested, who are, you know, the crux of the entire thing. So, of course, there are players who are in IPL. Un log to, wo log to IPL khel liye, but what about the others? What about So, there are so many states in India, and what about them? Players will be itching to, you know, perform, to get back on the scene. So if, okay, IPL is done and dusted, and domestic kabhi ek acha structure ban jaye, ek news aa jaye, so that's even better.
Yeah, I think if I'm not wrong, Sourav Ganguly did speak about starting domestic calendar from December or January. Yes, it is right that after saying that, he has gone on a mute. But I'm sure now that the IPL is over, they would now move on to execute their plans about the domestic calendar. And as far as women's T20 challenge is concerned, Shantanu ne already pichle episode mein bhi bola tha, and I just want to add the same. I mean, I want to reiterate the same. I think it is high time now that the BCCI band kar de ye 4 match ka women's T20 challenge and ek proper women's IPL ko launch kare. Kyunki abhi spectators bhi ready hai, sponsors bhi aa chuke hai, to agar aapko sponsors mil rahe hai women's T20 challenge ke liye ya women's IPL ke liye, to aapko fir ab sochne ki zarurat nahi. Waise bhi aapko paise ki sochne ki zarurat nahi honi chahiye, kyunki aap duniya ke sabse bade board hai. But even if it was a concern, I think wo bhi kuch had tak sort out ho gaya hai. Shantanu, just one more point, last point before we finish our conversation today. One another tangible benefit of this IPL is that ki World Cup hona tha T20, lekin ab wo next year ke liye postponed ho gaya hai. Uske pehle ek aur IPL hoga, but is IPL ka ek fayda to hai ki India ko it has put in a good place where they have a clear idea of the stock that they have. Like Varun Chakravarti getting in, Sanju Samson ne thoda promise dikhaya, theek hai, koi baat nahi, shayad fir dikhayenge. Varun Chakravarti team mein aaye the, shoulder injury se bahar ho gaya, lekin teen Natarajan aa gaye, so do yahan par uncapped player aapko mil rahe. Ishan Kishan ne apna ek badi दावेदारी रख दी है. सूर्य कुमार नहीं आ पाया है, लेकिन फिर भी उन्होंने भी अपनी दावेदारी रखी है. तो उस हिसाब से काफी कुछ इंडिया को यहां से मिला है इस आईपीएल से.
For sure, I completely agree, and I also think it is time that perhaps BCCI and Indian cricket should start looking at T20 slightly differently. It's a completely different ball game. It's a totally different skill set, and perhaps there are it's as different as test cricket is to ODIs. We are looking at a stage where the skill sets required to ace T20 cricket, the mindset required to ace T20 cricket may need a completely different set of players. And given the talent pool that India has and that IPL keeps showing and throwing up, it should not be a completely outlandish idea to suggest perhaps we may start looking at an entirely different T20 11 altogether. Aur usse aapka workload management, injury management bhi ho jayega. And also guys like Ishan Kishan that you rightly pointed out, guys like Hardik Pandya, who may not be an automatic pick for test team, uncapped players, Rahul Chahar, for example, these guys can get their opportunity. I'm not suggesting ki sare match mein aap ye apna bench strength khela do, but at least look to harness the gains of IPL. It's not a bad idea. A lot of teams are already doing that. There are short format specialists who play only T20s, who play only ODIs. And perhaps Indian cricket for far too long is stuck in a kind of time warp. We took ages to approve of DRS. We took ages to get our heads around ping ball cricket. And perhaps that is the reason why we are perennially in the mid-table of T20 rankings. ODIs and T-Test matches, mein we are there in top three inevitably, given that only 10 or 12 full members are there eventually. But yeah, like in T20s, we are always number 4, number 5, number 6, and we are never a real contender to lift a T20 trophy. I think I still think our best chance was 2016, and perhaps Virat was playing the best cricket of his life, but we lost the semi-finals, and since then I think we have never really looked world beaters in T20 cricket. And a part of this could be because of the approach of certain batsmen, the certain fearlessness that you need, perhaps a all young squad, you need fresh legs, you need people who have no fear of losing their place in the sides, who don't mind looking ugly, who don't mind going for expensive shots and getting out in the process, which must not be confused with playing irresponsible cricket. But all I'm saying is we need perhaps more enterprising cricket, which IPL throws up generally. So a guy like Surya Kumar losing out or ticket to Australia is baffling, and I think enough has already been said and written about it. And mazedar baat to ye hai ki jab squad revision hua kal parso mein to bhi uska naam nahi tha. So I don't know what more he has to do, and he is again one of these who looks like an all format player. He doesn't play rash shots, he knows his fields, he knows he has cricketing intelligence, and perhaps playing the best cricket he has ever played. So yeah, wo sab to Indian cricket ka hallmark hai, chalta rehta hai. But you rightly pointed out, this is a very good tangible benefit. And if you start grooming or identifying players right now who have done well in the IPL, and I think BCCI has done a fair job sending T. Natarajan to Australia. They are, I think it's a step in the right direction. A first step has been taken, and I would like to see more of these guys in the playing 11.
Yeah, T. Natarajan has actually been included. Earlier, he was only being sent to Australia, but now he has been included as a replacement for Varun Chakravarti in the T20 side. So he may very well get his debut cap also soon. So that's a great news for T. Natarajan and for Indian cricket. So, all right, that is it for tonight. Our IPL on Pod for this season is over. It was a great season of IPL, and it was really great to have this podcast. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you, Shantanu, for joining me on every episode, almost every episode, I think, except for one which I did not join. And Anish, also, thank you very much for joining in and for all your support and being available for this podcast. Shantanu, Anish, and I would also like to thank our other colleagues, Amit Banerjee, Jigar Mehta, and Shivan Pawande, who have joined us from time to time for this podcast. We would be back soon in some other form and some other with some other podcast on some other sport or maybe cricket. India is also going to Australia soon, so that is also there. I hope you guys enjoyed our episodes and enjoyed IPL on Pod. You can give us your feedback on our Twitter handle, which is @FirstPostSports. This podcast, as always, would be available on Audio Boom, Spotify, Google Podcast. So that's it. This brings an end to our IPL on Pod for this season. Thank you, guys, and good night.
Thanks, Ujwal. Thanks a lot for having us here. It was something new that we tried, and I would like to believe that it has come out well. And all thanks to our enterprise. So good luck, and here's to more of it.
Yes, Ujwal has anchored this IPL on Pod really well, almost like KL Rahul. So thank you, Ujwal. Thank you.
The only difference being the anchors are increasingly becoming redundant in T20s, but Ujwal is forever.
I hope that's not the case with Ujwal.
I hope you didn't mean any sarcasm. That's all I wish.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
That's it. Yeah, good night. Yeah. Bye.
Thanks. Bye, guys.